Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa, and we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with Matt Stanley, manager of the Astoria Co-op, and Kelly Huckenstein. Do I have this right, Kelly?
Yeah, Huckenstein.
Huckenstein. Both Kelly's both a farmer and a produce manager at the Astoria Co-op.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So we'd love to hear a little bit about how you ended up on the North Coast, and I'll start with Matt. Matt, how did you make it here?
I moved here from San Diego, California, where I was working at a co-op down there, and applied for the management job up here.
Had you ever been to Oregon before?
No, I came up for an interview, really liked the town, and said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I was offered the position and came on up.
What time of year did you come up for your interview?
It was April, and it snowed the second day I was here.
Oh my gosh.
That's good.
So it was interesting, but yeah.
And you grew up where?
I grew up in Wisconsin. So I spent most of my time in the Midwest and then moved out to the coast to go to grad school in San Diego. And then after that, moved up here.
Wow. Here you are,
yep.
4 years later?
4 years, April 1st.
Well, very cool. And Kelly?
I grew up in Albany, Oregon, which is down kind of south of Salem. And my parents both grew up here. I still have family and grandparents that live up in Astoria. And then, let's see, I went to school at U of O and started working on a farm outside of Eugene for about 4 years.
And which farm was that?
It was Wintergreen Farm. Uh-huh. It's in Notai. It's about 20 miles west of Eugene. And after working on that farm for a while, I wanted kind of a change of scenery and to connect back with family, so I moved up here.
That's
and
so great.
Started working at the co-op like 3 days after I got here.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
So how long have you been back?
I moved here in March.
Okay, so not
almost a year now.
Almost a year. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
How are you liking it? Is it what you expected?
I love it. Yeah, I love it so far. I feel like it's the perfect size town, really. It's small enough that you know a lot of people, but big enough that things are going on. And
yeah, well, yeah. I've definitely noticed the change in the produce. It's just you're doing a fabulous job.
Thank you.
The co-op. Well, so we talk a lot about food on this show, and we're talking about community food systems. And the co-op plays a really important part in our local food system, mainly in that you are the distributors of local food. So I wonder, Matt, could you talk a little about that?
Sure, yeah. So we're a consumer-owned co-op. There's different types of co-ops, but we're a consumer-owned co-op, so people buy a membership in the store. Mm-hmm. The full share value is $200. That's a lifetime refundable investment that you make in the store. Most people make $25 annual payments. And you become a legal co-owner of the store. And so we're democratically run. Technically, any member can run to be on the board of directors. They can show up to board meetings. They can just come and do a public comment at the board meetings. It depends how involved they want to be, but mm-hmm. they can be. And then there's certain, you know, special things that happen in the store for members as well that make it an incentive to become an owner.
Such as
all the sales specials, and then mm-hmm. we do discount days. You can special order in bulk. So if you really use a lot of brown rice, or if you go through canned black beans a lot of people buy a full case and then they get 10% off that purchase, and that happens any day. So, so there's those tangible and there's mm-hmm. those intangible benefits to being a member. And so we like to tell people about both. And our mission statement is building community through food. And how we do that is partially by that ownership, but also by what we put on the shelves.
Sure.
So whenever we can, we're looking for local products, whether that's in the produce department or the grocery department. And those products in turn really help differentiate ourselves from the larger stores in our area.
So how much of what you carry at the store would you say you sourced out of Oregon?
Out of Oregon, man, if I had to pick a percentage off the top of my head, I don't know. I would say maybe 30% is uh-huh. Oregon. It's probably more. We just got from one of our larger distributors a breakdown of how much comes from Oregon, Washington, and I think Idaho they included in Northern California. But even just the Oregon, there were some bigger brands that we don't really consider local that are manufactured here.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean that the ingredients are coming from Oregon. Uh-huh. But in our bulk department, which we just remodeled, we're working with a smaller bulk foods distributor called Hummingbird Wholesale down in Eugene. And every time we do an order from them, we're bringing in more stuff that is Oregon grown. So we just got some crimson red lentils that are Oregon grown.
Oh, wow.
There's some green lentils that are Oregon grown. Just things that you wouldn't think are even growing around here.
Wild
there's,
rice.
The wild rice has been around for a while, but there's some other things in the bulk department that are kind of fun to see. Yeah. Oh, wow, that's Oregon. Right. Some cornmeal that's Oregon grown.
Wow.
The filberts, the
hazelnuts, of course. Yep.
Yeah.
Can I ask, so you talk about being a community-owned store. Do people have to be a member to shop at the co-op? I know that's probably a perception that people have that, you know, that, oh, it's a membership thing and I can't shop there unless I'm a member of the co-op.
Definitely not. No, all shoppers are welcome. And there is that kind of misconception that you have to pay this that full whopping share value to become an owner. But it's just $25 a year. It's refundable. So it's really easy to make up that difference by kind of shopping the sales and taking advantage of the discount days and doing some special orders.
Yeah, and one thing that I found kind of interesting, I know that you kind of led the transitional time, right, from the old style co-op to the new style, and that you are actually not a nonprofit, but you're actually a for-profit business, right?
We are, yeah. So in 2004, we officially incorporated as a co-op, and I think that's when the name went from the community store to Astoria Co-op.
Okay.
And at that point, we were no longer a nonprofit. Yeah, we were a for-profit. It's what we do with the profits that really distinguishes us. They're not, you know, being sent out to some distant shareholder who doesn't have anything to do with the business. What we've done in the last 3 years is continually reinvested. So we spent almost $50,000 on our new bulk department. We redid our deli seating. Kelly might mention that we're going to redo the produce department. Mm-hmm. So all that's coming from funds that we've generated through our consumer owners.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What do you think are some of the challenges being an independent grocer here on the North Coast? Because, I mean, you think most of the food that people buy out here is coming from large supermarkets like Safeway or Fred Meyer's or mm-hmm. things like that. And you're a very different beast. And I know that there are some other small markets along the coast, but not a whole lot. I mean, what do you see as some of the big challenges there?
Do you want to take a stab at that question, Kelly?
Jeez. Go ahead. I'll jump in.
Okay. Well, you know, straight off the bat, we are not, price is not our strong point. You know, mm-hmm. we're not trying to play that game, really.
Yeah.
I think our strong point is quality.
Right.
Freshness, especially with the produce. For anyone who is, you know, kind of new to eating healthy, and every day we have someone come in who found out that, oh, I have this sensitivity, whether it's to gluten or to dairy or whatever it is. You know, thinking in terms of quality and not necessarily quantity and price is what I think is going to allow people to have a healthier diet overall. And then we have so many products that you can't get anywhere else.
Right.
And that make our, you know, shopping there really kind of fun and different.
Well, and you have people that come from actually pretty long distances on the mm-hmm. coast to shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know I'm always running into friends of mine from Cannon Beach, and occasionally I run into people from Tillamook.
Yeah.
So you're kind of the it place. Yeah. But Kelly, the produce department's just gorgeous. It really is.
Thanks.
And I wonder, you know, how many of the local farmers are you buying from?
It depends on the time of year. Obviously, now in the winter, we're still getting actually some produce from Zimmerman Farm in Grays River. And we still get our potatoes from Stewardship right now. In the height of the season, there's a few more farms added onto that. And it's just more of a percentage that we're getting mm-hmm. a lot more of our produce from those farms in the summer. But it's really the priority. If I see anything come up from a local farm, I will put that first before buying from our distributor. And even through the distributor, I always look for Oregon-grown produce before I start sourcing from California or Mexico or anything like that.
What are some of the challenges for buying from local farms? Because I know that it can be hard, and we have out here on the coast a lot of new farmers, a lot of beginning farmers, and I think sometimes, you know, and I can speak for this for myself, from starting my own farm, you know, you get into it and you have a lot of ideas about how you're going to sell produce, and it's very different selling to a retailer than selling maybe at a farmer's market or direct to consumer. And what are some of the challenges that you deal with, you know, like maybe beginning farmers or farmers who've never sold wholesale to a store before? What would you look for if you're looking at a new farmer? What are you looking for?
Right. I think the biggest challenge to get with especially a really small beginning farm is just the consistency. When someone promises me that they're going to have a crop for a few weeks and I don't order from the bigger distributor, I'm really looking for that to keep coming, especially on the time that they say. So if you're going to say that you're going to deliver on Tuesday. I really need it on Tuesday because I made the effort to not source from a different place, you know, a bigger distributor. So that's one thing. And just also thinking of it as an actual business, when you're selling to a business like the co-op, it's not like the farmer's market where you can just, you know, chat with the consumers directly and really talk to them about the produce. It's, you have to think of it more in a business sense and have invoices and really, you know, think about your prices. And and I'm willing to chat with people about prices and about how things should look and how invoices should look, but that has to be something that has to be in the front of your mind.
Mm-hmm. I think she made someone an invoice.
I did.
Did you really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'm really open to helping people out, but yeah, it just has to be a priority.
Well, it's a very different way of thinking. I think it challenges the farmer to look at it differently. And I know that it's the same issue for restaurants as well, that you need that consistency. You need to be able to count on this produce showing up. And the other thing that I know that is it all certified organic
it
produce
is.
In mm-hmm. your produce department?
Definitely.
And so that's going to limit it right there because there's only so many certified organic
right.
farms
there
out here.
There are certain times in the summer when I'll buy from a local producer that is not certified organic, but in those cases, we've generally gone out to the farm. We've seen the farm. We've talked to the farmer. You know, mm-hmm. I've done farming, so I know what the practices look like.
Yeah.
And then I can make the conscious decision to not, you know, to overlook the certification, but that's just on a small personal interaction scale. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and in truth, most of our local farmers are practicing
right.
organic.
Exactly. They just don't pay for that certification.
Right.
They'd be
yeah.
like what we would call organic compliant, or
right.
maybe we'd call them transitional. We won't call them organic, you know, officially on the mm-hmm. signage,
right.
but we might tell you, you know, the name of the farm. And mm-hmm. obviously Kelly would be able to tell the customer a little bit more information.
Yeah.
So,
I know you talked about the produce department and there's a lot of work that goes into it, and it is very beautiful. And I know you said there's a lot of work behind the scenes that goes into making the produce last a long time and be very fresh. And maybe talk a little bit about, maybe both of you can kind of speak to that.
We can't give you our secrets.
But we do put a lot of effort into it.
Well, and I'm going to break in really quick just to do a little, we're halfway through our show. It always goes really fast, but we do need to take a little station break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you are just joining us, we're talking with Matt Stanley, manager of the Astoria Co-op, and Kelly Huckenstein, who's both a farmer and a produce manager at the co-op. So welcome, and we'll continue, pick up where you left
she
off.
She doesn't farm at the co-op.
No, that's misleading, isn't it? I think it's so cool that we've got somebody who has been a farmer and who will be a farmer again, but is actually really, really knows things from the seed all the way
mm-hmm.
to the
yeah,
harvest.
It's actually kind of interesting because I came right from the farm and got into the buying, and just seeing what people are sending me, I was like, oh, my farm would never send me a bunch that look like that. You know, I was really picky, which is good, but.
Yeah. But thinking about that, you know, I mean, produce is perishable and you only have so much time to sell it. And so you get a lot of fresh produce in, you know, how, and that's a big challenge. I think for a lot of people, I think, especially with a lot of huge distribution of produce, that produce is coming from a long ways away, people often are disappointed in their produce buying experience or their fresh food experience because it doesn't last very long once they get at home, and that's probably because it was picked a while ago.
Right.
And maybe
especially in this time of year. I mm-hmm. mean, people, if they want to buy bell peppers year-round, they need to know that in January they're going to be coming from Mexico, and that's a long way to travel.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think people always comment on the taste.
Mm-hmm.
I know we've been talking a lot about, out in our classes, somewhat about, you know, that 1,000-mile plate and what happens and what's been bred. And the nutrition has been bred out of a lot of things that have been bred to travel and
right.
to last.
Exactly.
And so that's what people are tasting mm-hmm. is actually the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with a great distributor called Organically Grown Company. And whenever they can, they're doing the same thing we are. They're trying to source from Oregon, Washington, Northern California. Obviously, this time of year, they're having to go farther south for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, like peppers and eggplants and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, if you're thinking seasonally, not only are you going to have better tasting stuff, but you're going to probably pay less.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to have that dish that calls for the bell pepper, you know, it's it's going to be expensive, mm-hmm. especially a certified organic one. So
yeah, one of the challenges I find with a lot of cookbooks is when I look at them, they're so obviously not geared for seasonal mm-hmm, eating, right. because you'll have a recipe and it'll have ingredients that are ripe in totally different seasons. And
I've
so it's impossible to, you know, it's like broccoli and red bell pepper. Like, you know, this yeah. doesn't always happen at the same time. Mm-hmm. And it's a big challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I think you do really well at the co-op is you are engaged in educating your customer. I know that this year I've cooked some squash I've never cooked before, and it's not even so much your staff, although they're great at that, but it's the other customers. They get so excited yeah. about, you've never had a carnival squash before?
Right.
Well, this is what I did with it. And I think that piece, but you also do incredible outreach.
Mm-hmm. And well, that's part of the, you know, you come into the co-op, that's part of that whole community feel that it is kind of an intimate shopping experience, you know. They say in retail that customers like to have a 10-foot radius around them while they shop, and they're in their own little island.
It's so not possible at the co-op.
It's not possible at the co-op. And we just left from down there, and the parking lot was full, and it was busy in there. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that, but it kind of forces you a little bit out of your comfort zone, and we like that because, you know, I was buying some Japanese sweet potatoes, which if you haven't tried, they're awesome. They have a yellow inside, and they're really
yeah.
creamy. And, you know, I was just talking to a staff person like, oh, hey, Marin, have you tried these? And someone else overheard. And I think like three people ended up buying a couple to try them
yeah.
instead of the other kind. And so that does happen a lot at the co-op. And we like that.
It is a wonderful community place. I was joking earlier with someone that whenever we were all talking about when we go to the co-op to shop, you have to try and factor in, you know, about 45 minutes extra
yeah.
to your shopping time, because inevitably you're going to run into somebody that you know, or often several times. I've sometimes hit people in each aisle and had great conversations, yeah. but not got any of my shopping done.
No,
that's true.
Exactly.
So sometimes you don't want that. You know, you want your
anonymity.
No,
it is quick in, quick out. Yeah.
You know, just thinking about your community outreach, and you offer tours of the co-op as well sometimes, don't you, for special diets? Or for different things?
We just started a monthly thing. One of our board members, Allie Evans, who is a naturopathic doctor who's not currently practicing but has that background, she just did her first one. It was a gluten-free tour. We did it in the morning. It didn't have a huge following. I think we're going to try doing evening ones where, mm-hmm. where more people can come after work. But if there's any organization out there that thinks they have a group of people who would benefit from learning a little bit about the mm-hmm. co-op, I love giving the
yeah.
tours.
Yeah, well, and I've participated with you on some of these. We've taken groups of teens in. We've taken groups of seniors in. And it's really terrific because they get a chance to ask questions in a really small kind of atmosphere and get some real specific advice and help.
Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you about your bulk department, too, because mm-hmm. I know that's something you guys are really proud of, and you have just redone it,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful. But your bulk stuff is amazing and very competitive, I think.
I think so. I think the majority of it is certified organic. Kelly was a big part in making that bulk thing happen.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Because we had some extra cash and we knew we wanted to reinvest in the store, so we really looked at that department. We had some kind of dilapidated equipment and you know, mm-hmm. we decided to just go for it. We self-financed it. We used money that we had saved over the mm-hmm. last few years, and it's paying off already in sales, and we've added a bunch of new products, and it's much easier to shop.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
Well, so I have, I know somebody who's a very loyal customer who really, really wishes that he could buy fresh ground almond butter there. So what's the deal with that?
I wonder who that gentleman may be. You know, it's interesting. When we moved from the old store to the new store, we had a peanut butter grinder. It was kind of old, and
I used that a few times. It was a pretty distressing experience.
It was. It was not user friendly. They're pretty loud. So we let that go. And he, you know, Mark is not the only one who. Sorry, I had to use
He's
your
being
name.
Outed, huh?
He's not the only one, of course, who's requested that. So they're expensive machines.
Uh-huh.
So we're kind of contemplating where we could put them and. I'm not ruling that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
good to
hear.
There is still hope, yeah.
Well, so one other thing I wanted to touch on is I think that co-ops used to have sort of almost an elitist feel, or people perceive that it's not just for everybody. And I noticed you take EBT, you
mm-hmm.
take the Oregon Trail card there.
Mm-hmm.
And has that been successful for you?
It's great. Yeah, we have a huge amount of customers who use that. And we usually see a little bit of a boost in sales in the beginning of the month when
sure.
people are starting to get their mm-hmm. their new balance. So Yeah, we definitely want to continue doing that, and we gladly accept that. And beyond just the food stamps, it's pretty amazing to see the broad spectrum of people from different backgrounds, different political views who shop there.
Uh-huh.
We do not have a political view. We're, our main thing is food and quality food, and
right.
that's what we're about. And I think there is that stigma from the past that there's this, that the funky hippie store.
Right, right.
Maybe we used to be that, but we're really not trying to take any stand. When it comes to food, we're going to talk about food politics and food policy, and
and
you know, obviously our food system in this country is in pretty bad shape in the big picture. Obviously, all the cool stuff that we're doing is great, but that's where we're focusing our attention.
Well, and I do think you're a really important piece to our local food economy, and it's fabulous to have you here for that.
I think one other thing that we would love to talk to both of you about, and it's a question that we ask all of our guests, is let's talk about cooking. Let's talk about
That's
recipes.
Right.
What so if you guys, what's your kind of go-to recipe? What do you like to cook? You know, it doesn't have to be stuff from the co-op, but it could be. But like, what, you know, and I think about this as, you know, a lot of times people cooking from scratch can be a challenge for people, and I know that that's something that that's really great to do with all the co-op stuff. You have bulk stuff, you have great produce. What do you do? What's one of your favorite recipes?
My go-to, if I'm lazy and can't, you know, pull open a cookbook, is what we call ginger noodles at my house, which is udon noodles, which we have in the bulk section, pretty reasonably priced. Whatever local produce, usually, you know, kale, maybe broccoli, cauliflower, depending on the season, any other kind of produce in the summer, I do zucchini. But cook that up with the udon noodles and add fresh grated ginger, toasted sesame oil, and shoyu.
Oh,
it's super
great.
Simple, super easy, but you're still getting your vegetables. And
do you saute the vegetables separately and then combine it with
sometimes,
the noodles?
Yeah. And if it's like broccoli or cauliflower, sometimes I'll just add it with the udon water just to kind of
give it
gently
a little
cook
crisp,
it. And then, it's pretty easy.
Oh, that sounds great. What about you, Matt? Really,
my go-to is one that has gone to the point where my wife will not let me make it anymore. No, she loves it. It's really easy. We sell these great curry pastes from this couple in Portland, a Thai couple in Portland. They're called Thai and True. They make five different kinds. Our favorite's the Mossamum curry paste.
Mm.
And just takes a can of coconut milk, that paste, and whatever veggies you have on hand. The secret we found, though, with making your own curry at home, if you want to make it taste like the restaurant, is to have a good fish sauce.
Right.
And we have a great fish sauce. I can't remember the name of the company, but that's what gives it that restaurant flavor, and it adds a little bit of salt.
Well, and I think you even have the lime leaves. The
we
caper
do.
Leaves,
we
don't
do.
You?
Yeah.
They're dry.
There's some lemongrass that you can add in there that's dried. But the main thing is, when we always throw in a bunch of kale at the end just to kind of par cook it. And kale's great because we're still getting kale amazingly from Grays River, Washington, and it's super nutrient dense. It's overwintered. It's really tasty. So that's our go-to, and you can make it as spicy or not as spicy as you want to.
Oh, that sounds really great.
Yeah.
Speaking of kale, now how are the kale sales at the co-op? I mean, is it a hot vegetable?
It is, especially January. Sales picked right up with the whole New Year's resolution of people wanting to eat healthy, but in general, I mean, we have kale all year round, and people are definitely go to it.
I've actually been surprised at how people here on the North Coast kale is not a super hard sell to a lot of people here. A lot of people have tried it, I think, because it is one of those fresh vegetables that's just around so much, and especially if you grow any of your own vegetables, it's hard to avoid growing kale because it's the one thing you really are going to have success with.
Well, and it's so versatile.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'll tell you, I didn't eat a lot of kale until I moved up here.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have known what it was when I was a kid. We never
ate kale.
No, I would have no idea what that was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, how many different varieties of kale do you carry in the produce department?
Right now we have four. That's pretty much what we usually have. Sometimes I'll bring in a couple extra kinds, but it's fun to just taste all the different ones. We're still getting two of those from Zimmerman.
So what types do you have?
We have Italian kale, which is also known as lacinato, or black or dinosaur kale. We also have rainbow lacinato kale. Those two are from Zimmerman.
Oh, that's a great kale. I like that
one. Those are delicious and beautiful. And then our standard of green and red kale, so...
I just started for the first time this summer eating some raw kale salad, which I'd never really had before. And I know you guys make a really great one in your deli. But just knowing that you could, like, just tossing it with olive oil and lemon juice, and the lemon juice kind of cooks it a little bit and just let it sit there.
You can massage it.
I'm too lazy and I don't massage it. I just kind of stir it up and then let it sit there for a while. That's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. And I would never have thought that I would be someone to eat kale.
It's a big seller in the deli.
I really like it.
Yeah. Overnight it's even better because it's marinated a little bit more and that cellulose breaks down.
It actually lasts like 2 or 3 days and it's still green and it doesn't get slimy. And I think the secret to kale salad myself is to make sure you chop it really finely.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easier to...
to eat.
Yeah, it really is.
I know. So what's ahead for the co-op? What do you think is coming up in your future? I mean, do you see your customer base really expanding? Has that really happened?
We do. We just applied for an associate membership for this organization called the National Cooperative Grocers Association. So it's like a big co-op of co-ops. And you have to reach the $2 million in annual sales mark to become a full member of this organization.
Wow.
So once we get there, we get to sign this supplier contract that gives us a volume discount that allows us to pretty much get wholesale prices that are competitive with like what Whole Foods would get.
Wow.
Because they're pooling all of the co-ops in the country buying power together. That's not a given when we hit the 2 million mark. Our goal is to hit that mark this year. When that happens, what you'll see is like prices on sales stuff will be much better deals.
Uh-huh.
We'll be able to have more everyday low prices on key staple items. So, you know, maybe we'll see our yogurts go down. But so we're really close. This year we're going to be like really close to hitting the $2 million mark. And to do that, we're just going to keep reinvesting in our store. So our next little project is to redo the produce department. We're going to kind of streamline it. Give it some more space, but at the same time, make it so there's more room for shoppers. It kind of gets crowded in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been in there during a busy, you know, burst of customers, it's kind of tough to move around there, get stuff up off the floor. And we're doing this awesome monthly newsletter that we email out.
It really is awesome. Mm-hmm.
So if anyone wants to get that, you just go to our webpage and you can sign up for it, or you just give us your email next time you're in the store. Mm-hmm. There's a sign up at the register. And we put a lot of work into that. It's a way for us to stay connected with our members rather than doing just quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
We're still going to do our quarterly print version as well, and that's getting an upgrade too, so you'll see that come out in the spring here. But
Matt, tell us your website address just
in case. It's www.astoriacoop.org.
Okay.
It's still ORG, even though we're not a nonprofit anymore.
Well, okay.
As long as it still works.
And that's good. Really quick, we talked a lot about produce, but you actually carry meat, right?
We do. Most of our meat right now is coming from the Deck Family Farm down in Junction City, which is right outside of Eugene. And I visited their farm several times. All our meat's frozen. It's flash frozen right when it's butchered. And we find that for us, that's just the way to keep it the freshest.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Most meat at the grocery store is infused with CO2 to keep it looking red and pink. And we don't know how long it sat on the shelf. So the Deck Farm is just doing everything the right way. It's rotational grazing. Their pasture is now certified organic for their lamb and beef. And so it's not, you know, it's not cheap, you know, but I really don't think you can find better meat in Oregon right now.
Yeah. Well, this has gone by really fast again. Thank you so much for joining us on today's Food Talk. Fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast, and we wanted to say a few thank yous.
And thank you very much to Matt and Kelly for joining us today, and thanks to Mark, our illustrious almond butter loving engineer, and thanks to Luke and Katie for our theme music.
Yeah, and if you would like, this show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much,
Matt and Kelly.
Thanks.
Comes from